guys, it's B-Side. This podcast, we are going to be discussing some medical diagnoses. We are not doctors. If you think you could have some of these symptoms, please seek professional help. Do not rely on this podcast.
Good morning, Gloucester. Time for Alicia Unleashed. Talking about what's going on in these streets. Alicia, Alicia Unleashed.
Good morning, Gloucester. It's Alicia Unleashed. What are we?
Episode 59.
Holy crap. Episode 59. So crazy. So we are here with B-Side.
What up?
You ready for this? You ready?
I don't think they're ready.
I don't think they're ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You ready?
Yes.
We are here with Kyle Danicus.
Hello.
And she has brought a friend, and we will talk about that later, and her name is Kim.
Hello.
Hi, Kim. So before we get it all started, because Kyle's here for a specific reason.
Special reason.
Yes. Special reason. She has been MIA for quite some time.
Yep.
Taking care of some business, but now we are about to find out. Why has Kyle been MIA?
Yeah.
Where she's been?
Yeah.
What you've been doing?
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to find out all about you.
You think hopefully not everything. You think you quit in jail, but yeah.
Well, I mean, people now turning into this episode haven't gone back and binge listened to everyone, the other episodes.
Except for Mr. E.
Except for Mr. E.
Mr. E binge listened from the beginning.
Oh, wow.
When we first started dating. And I said, can you not?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't think you're going to, maybe you won't like me after this. But he could definitely see the evolution of when we first started to now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is pretty cool. And, you know, my life has been, you know, the past 2 years, a little bit crazy up and down.
Sure.
But you listen to that in the year and a half in the podcast, so
yeah.
It's been really cool.
Yeah, it's great.
So, couple of things that we're just going to get out of the way. We're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on. What did we call this segment?
Alicia's Hot Plate.
Oh. Yes. We need, snazzy thing, introduction.
Oh, I can
Alicia's
work on that.
Hot Plate.
I can work on that.
I can work on that.
Write that down in the notebook and just make sure that you
get Hot Plate. I think so.
Yeah.
That needs to happen. So we had the most anticipated restaurant opening this weekend is Italiano, which is in downtown Gloucester, and, Dio Braga that owns Dunkin' Donuts in Azorian, half of Gloucester,
yeah.
Opened up Italiano, gorgeous inside.
It's very pretty in there.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
I mean, there's some big canvas of some well-known Italian people on there. I was like, huh. Interesting. This just got real.
Well, yeah. I haven't been there, but I've heard it's really good.
Yeah, the bar is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like this nice marble. I was like sitting there.
Of course.
So pretty in here.
The TVs are huge.
Yeah, massive.
I mean, serious.
Where is that?
Where La Trattoria used to be.
Where's that?
Across from Dog Bar.
Okay.
On the upper side of Dog Bar.
So it's... You know, La Trattoria went out a few years ago, and the space has just kind of been sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So Dio renovated it, and it's gorgeous. Tyler and I went opening night. We actually ordered one from each, category. So we had a salad, and then we had the mussels, the white wine mussels. We also had a pizza. We had the haddock piccata, and we had eggplant carbonara. So we had something from a little thing. Tyler was over the moon about it. It is definitely, it's Rome inspired. Okay. So it's not going to be heavy Italian.
Yeah.
Everything is going, it's very light, light in taste, which we shared 5 plates,
uh-huh.
Left feeling satisfied, not gross.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people around here are we're used to heavy Sicilian food.
We're used to the Sicilian mothers. Eat.
Right. And this is, it's very light. Tyler and I's favorite thing was the haddock piccata with lemon risotto, not over pasta, but over a lemon risotto.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler said it was the best risotto he has ever had.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're doing something real good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, my son.
Oh,
he's,
so
it's my son. He's almost 13. He's been cooking since he was
awesome.
5.
Yeah.
Okay, he actually wants to be a cook when he's a chef when he's older.
Oh, that's wonderful.
His palate is amazing. He knows what he's doing. So, it's great. We critiqued everything, and it was awesome. And the rosé that they have by the glass.
Oh, my God, that was good.
Great.
And I don't drink rosé.
I mean, they're killing it all the way around. I mean, we went again. I went again with Bridget for lunch yesterday. And their lunch menu is a little different from their dinner menu. Not too so much different, but they had a flatbread on there. Whereas their dinner, they have a pizza. And their pizza is in between. It's not really doughy. It's actually airy in it, but it's not really thin. It's in between. And the flatbread was great.
Yeah, I had the chicken margarita flatbread. And mm-hmm. I don't particularly drink rosé as a rule.
Yeah.
As
usually,
cool.
It usually would be the sweet rosé because that's what I was used to back in the day before I worked for a company that I worked for that I do not speak of. Because they'll hear me. but now this one was a little sweeter, but it was also dry. It was delicious. Probably not the best pairing to go with chicken margarita, but, you know.
I talked about it so much.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I loved it.
I don't believe you.
What?
You
Alicia is
not
talk about wine a
lot?
Did
I talk about wine a lot?
Probably.
What? In the past 7 days, actually in the past 3 or 4 days, we've had
48 hours, 20 or 72 hours.
We've had 2 deaths in Gloucester.
That had an impact.
That had an impact, actually.
Yeah.
And they're young. Okay. So I personally did not know either of them.
I know.
But what you did?
Yeah, you're
okay.
softball coach.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So I looked at pictures and I really didn't know, and his cause of death is unknown. He was young, 40, right?
41.
41. And people just can't say enough good things about him.
Oh, my God. He was a big teddy bear. Like, every single time that he gave you, he would always give you a hug, no matter what. And he's this big, you know, tall, big guy, and he wouldn't make you feel ever uncomfortable in a hug. You know what I mean? So
once
you're in there, you were just like, oh, this is really nice. Because he was always
just a genuine, good person.
Yeah, because he was just so, I started softball 2 seasons ago. And I hadn't played in a really long time since I was, like, in 8th grade or something, and I was terrified. And he was always very loud, but he had a lot of good energy, and he cared so much about the girls on my team. He would always be there rooting and hollering, maybe a little too loud sometimes, but it was great because it kept us going, kept us on, you know, on point. And, like, I remember, you know, one of the girls in the league, you know, she goes, you're really lucky that you have a coach that cares as much as he does about you girls. And I remember it was like probably 5 games in. And I didn't know anybody on the team. I didn't know him. I just knew, but you know, I didn't know. And we were all meeting back at Dog Bar, and he comes in with a baby bunny. And he goes, yo, guys, I found this bunny. I'm like, what are you talking about? You just went to the field to the bar. How did you find a little baby bunny? And he had saved it. It was being chased by a cat when across the street. He pulled over and, like, scared the cat away and saved the baby bunny.
Oh,
and I
God.
Said to myself, I like this guy a lot. Because
yeah.
He had such a big heart, and it's just so sad.
Right.
You know, about what happened. So.
And
yeah.
He also is the brother-in-law of Jenny Greek, who
nope.
just was on our podcast 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And that's how, and the name was familiar, and I was like, God, why do I know that name? And then I happened to see something in a flash on Facebook, and it wasn't public knowledge yet, but I messaged her myself, and I was like, I cannot believe, because I had conversations with him last year about joining Dog Bar Softball, and never panned out, but you know,
yeah.
But they even did post or even they did write an article that Gloucester did lose their biggest teddy bear.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And then the other, was Joel Cotullo, who owned Cotullo Barbershop. And he was also, I think he was in his 30s.
I'm
not too sure.
I don't know.
I think he was either, I don't even know. We'll have to wait. He just passed on Friday. He actually was going into surgery for open heart surgery, and he actually talked about, you know, he actually wrote a post, you know, I'm going to come out of this stronger and everything like that. And he had a kid. But he's also a huge loss to the community as well. So he had an impact, and everyone knew, a lot of people knew him in his community as well. So that was the other one. So kind of just really crazy.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Yeah. It kind of hits us, like in Gloucester, we kind of get them like in pairs or in threes. Like there's never like one and then one. It's usually all at the same time. We kind of get hit.
Well, my aunt passed away. Found out last Saturday. She was a teacher at the high school. She taught the STEP program. I talked about it on the podcast where I worked with her for a full year and then happened to be talking about the yearbook and was like, oh, that's my cousin. She's like, well, that's my nephew. And I was like, well, how is that your nephew? She's like, well, that's my sister's kid. I was like, well, that's my aunt's kid. And she's like, well, who's your parents? And I told her, and she's like, well, you're my niece. And I was like, what? So she did pass away. So, you know, the STEP program had, and she also taught at St. Anne's and stuff like that. So the STEP program lost a huge huge heart as well. So
what was her name?
Diane Curley. I don't think she's been at the school for a while, but yeah, I happened to see it on Facebook and I was at the bar by myself. Kyle, I go to the bar by myself now.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Right?
I've taught you well.
That's another evolution of the podcast of, you know,
Bridget's Saturday Night Adventures.
Good for you.
Alicia was supposed to come and see it in action and then just couldn't hang. And
no, I was done last
night. So I went out by myself.
Yeah, because I missed it. Because I could have been a great wing woman.
Sometimes it's still terrifying.
Well, it won't always be.
Well, I've got a system now.
It's all about posture. I told you.
Well, it's not even about that. It's I message my favorite bartender and say, hey, how crazy is it? And he's like, are you flying solo? I'm like, usually. And he's like, come on down. And then I'll go down and I'll sit there and I'll probably be one of the last few to be there when it closes. I'm like, oh my God, I'm here when the bar closes.
Yeah,
sometimes
that
gets me in trouble. Sometimes it doesn't. Today was one of those days where I was like, could I wake up and be in deep shit today?
Let me check the
Nope.
I probably would have been if I even went out. I was like, I gotta go to bed. It was like 10 o'clock by the time and...
Yeah, I've been going out later. It's like Saturday night where I only find that kind of energy. It's like, other than that, you can catch me in sleep at 9.
I was like, I'm in bed.
You said you were going to hang. You were like, oh, I'm good.
I know, I was trying. I was really trying.
Yeah.
I was really trying. So,
Kyle!
Okay, so I don't even know how to kind of...
Pronounce it?
Yeah. pronounce it, introduce it, talk about it.
How do you bring it up?
Kyle, why don't you just talk about what's been going on in your world? It's been what? Almost a year?
No, it's been longer than that.
You've been on?
Well,
been coming consistently? Because you were coming here consistently and then...
Up until like episode like 13.
Right.
So
okay.
You're on 59 today.
Right.
I think you came for one episode where we played like Reunited.
And then we didn't, and that was the one I couldn't.
Oh, right.
It's a lost episode. Yeah. Episode number 25, it's lost.
Yeah, okay.
We can't play it yet. We probably
I'm sure
could.
We can play it by now.
I think we can play it
you've
by
done,
now.
You've done more shit since then that like this shouldn't faze anybody.
There was some stuff talked about on that podcast, and it was bad timing. It would have been okay, but shit went down that night, literally right after we had posted that podcast. And otherwise, it would have been fine. So I'm glad it didn't go out because it could have escalated stuff. But now we're good. We're good.
We're on episode 59.
Yes. So why don't you kind of tell us about what's been going on in your world, and
where I've been is... in my apartment and at
food
work
prepping.
And the gym and the woods.
Food prepping.
And yes, and food. That's part of my apartment. Yeah, that would be prepping.
What do you mean you don't food prep in the woods?
Well, yeah. I save squirrels.
About?
I don't eat them. Did you see that post?
Yeah, anyway, little Pete.
Little Pete. Anyway, so I have a lot going on. I do a lot of exercises and a lot of sleeping and a lot of stretching and a lot of meditation. That takes a lot of time when you're working like 40, 45 hours a week. So when you guys have them during the week Or if you have them on the weekend, I'm usually trying to kind of recoup from nothing I could get done during the week. I have to do that on the weekend. So cleaning, dishes, laundry, you know, Lily, the whole thing, maybe sleep.
So far, it just sounds like you're living the life of a hermit. Of the way that people should be living, though. You're meditating, you're working out.
So it's only because I found that that's something that works for me because in February of 2016, I was diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
Say that again.
Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
Is that a person's name?
It is. Two people's names.
The people that discovered the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's EDS for short.
Makes it so much easier.
Yeah, that is much easier.
Yeah, EDS for short. Kim also struggles with EDS as well. I actually met Kim at a support group that I go to, and, you know, she can make it if she can and everything in Boston or Waltham.
Yeah.
Wow, that's up there.
Yeah. But that's only a few months, you know, every few months or so. But anyway, it's a connective tissue disorder. So the connective tissue is bad. It lacks a protein called collagen. And it kind of wreaks havoc in your body all over because you have connective tissue absolutely everywhere. And it's what holds everything together. It's what creates elasticity. It's what creates support, your tendons, ligaments, muscles, skin, arteries, veins,
eyes.
Organs, eyes. I mean, it goes, it's absolutely in every aspect of the human body.
Yeah.
And so what happens is you in the beginning when you're like, you know, fuck, what's wrong with me? I can't, you know, do this or that, or this is hurting, or this bizarre symptom, and, you know, all this pain everywhere, constantly, like, always. But if it's in your leg or, like, you feel like it's in your bones, you go to, you know, orthopedic surgeon. Or if it's in your joints, you go to rheumatologist. Or if it's if you're having a skin problem, you go to a dermatologist. If you're having nerve pain or some neurological problems, you have to go to a neurologist. If you're having breathing respiratory problems, you go to a cardiologist. Anything with an
ist. Ologist.
Anything with an ist.
Every specialty.
Right.
You get to know.
Yeah. And, like, I showed Kim at one point, and I think she has something similar at home. I have a filing cabinet where I have every single specialist that you can think of for a human, you know, anatomy anyways, is all has to be organized because otherwise you get completely overwhelmed with the appointments. And that's a lot of the reason why I didn't make it either because on top of that, going to the doctors, you know, 2-3 times a week, sometimes depending on physical therapy or occupational therapy, that becomes a job. You got to call for the referrals because no one does their goddamn job. The insurance companies, you got to call both doctors' appointments, and then you find out they only got an office referral, not a medical referral. And then you have to, so it's constant. And then you also have to work too. And, you know, if you live alone, you got to keep everything, you know, cleanly. So a lot of time has been, I'm not going to say taken from me or us or, you know, anything like that, but I've definitely had to sacrifice a lot of my, social time. I have to go to bed at 8 o'clock because
I do that anyway.
Yeah. It's very different.
I mean, you wake up early. You wake up really early still.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I go to bed at 8, I'll probably fall asleep around 10 or 11 because when somebody whose joints don't like to stay in, is the gravity's gone, things tend to detach a little bit.
That's
so
crazy.
Then your muscles, then your muscles are like, fuck, you know, we got to keep this joint together. Only this isn't our job. You know, your tendons and your ligaments hold your joints together. So your muscles are now having to exert all this crazy energy to keep these joints in place when they're not supposed to. So that results in a lot of muscle pain, a lot of nerve pain, shit gets pinched. So when you're sleeping, even the friction, I don't know if you ever experienced this, Kim, but the friction of the sheets against, like, your skin or, like, pajamas that you're using is like, agony.
When my neuropathy is acting up, it's a weird sensation because you could call it burning, but it's not burning.
Yeah.
It's almost like after your skin's been scalded,
That's what it feels like when something rubs up against it.
Yes.
Ooh.
And it's just, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, and, but so the struggle for sleep, you have to fight. Literally, it's a friggin' battle to fall asleep because you are so uncomfortable, whether it's due to pain or a lot of us suffer from a couple other things that usually coincide with EDS. So
EDS has friends.
EDS has some friends.
So,
yeah.
I want to... Okay, here's my thing. I want to stop right where we are right here, and I want to get back to pain, and but I want to go back to, you've had this your whole life and you didn't even know it.
So as far as that goes,
tell me about your life, and then how the hell you got to this.
Well, I was born with my hip out of, when I was born, my left hip was completely dislocated. Which is not uncommon, like, it's not, mm-hmm. you know.
You're a twin, as well.
And yeah, so, like, there was two of us in there cooking, like, you know, probably got a little, the room wasn't exactly spacious in there. But anyway, no, I, throughout, probably up until I was in eighth grade, and I remember specifically when I got into eighth grade, I don't know how old you are when you're in eighth grade, but
13 or 14.
Yeah. Something changed dramatically in how I felt physically. They said, oh, maybe it's mono, this and that, whatever. Maybe she's depressed, la-di-da. But I specifically remember it was in eighth grade and something like I just hit a wall. And then after that, I remember having to sit in high school in the chairs and it was agonizing. They thought I had ADD, which might be true a little bit.
Wait, you got it? Wait, what?
But it was because I couldn't sit still because I was physically very uncomfortable. And I'd go to these doctor's appointments with my boyfriend in high school, and they would be like, no, like, here's this MRI. Like, your shit's fine. Like, you, it's nothing.
Which is interesting because that's one of the hallmarks of EDS is you can't find it on any type of imaging test.
Yeah, it's not like arthritis or, like, you know, something that you, it's picture this, right?
Okay.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So, beautiful, healthy-looking house, right? Healthy-looking house, except it was built with crappy material, and it might have termites.
Mm.
But you can't see it until you really cut that
until you
open.
See the termites coming out.
Exactly. So, you know, you kind of get, like, maybe some plumbing going on that's wrong, maybe some air conditioning problems going on, maybe, like, shit's falling off the walls or the floorboards.
And, of course, the electrician's not going to see the termites and be like, hey, you probably got a termite
problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, because that's
exactly
not their
it.
Area of...
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I know that I'm sure we'll probably get to this, but I have this question now and it's kind of burning. So how did it get to this actual diagnosis? Like, how many doctors before one doctor was like, oh, it could be this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how did that work for you guys? Like, is there a specific doctor for EDS?
No.
You have to go to all those other guys?
But there is a specific one to diagnose it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a
okay.
geneticist.
Yeah.
Specifically a geneticist who has worked with EDS before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so not even all geneticists know about it or can diagnose it. It's only ones that are familiar with it.
Now, did it... What kind of doctor had to kind of refer you to a geneticist to figure it out?
In my situation,
took you how many years?
So, well, if you count going to doctors for pain and try, you know, until them telling you there's nothing wrong with you, 15 years. But I really, when I moved back here, I changed a lot of the way I live. I thought maybe everybody, I was like, well, everybody feels like this. Because why wouldn't they? Because there's nothing wrong with me, and there's nothing wrong with you. I'm just being a baby about this discomfort and pain that I feel every. Because every doctor I've gone to says you're fine. Like it's fibromyalgia, which means fucking jack shit. Excuse me, but it does.
It's a new hysteria.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking away from people that suffer from.
Because fibromyalgia is very painful.
No,
but that's what they thought you had, but it wasn't.
Right. What I'm saying is that they don't know what. No one knows what. Fibromyalgia is.
Right.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? So
right.
so it's like, okay, but I probably...
It could be a bunch of things.
It could be.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
It causes it. So I hit the, you know, I just went crazy. I just started going to every... All right, you don't know what it is? All right, take a hike. I'm going to go to another one. And luckily my PT, my PCP was really good about kind of letting me go where I need to go because she's like, I have no idea what this is. So I started going to neurologist, cardiologist,
rheumatologist. My sister probably put you on oils. Are you on oils now?
No, I'm
oil free. Okay, you're oil free. All right.
But it was actually my rheumatologist. She said, there's something that I think I want you to go see a geneticist for. It's called, you know, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Like, I have no idea what you just said. God bless you. And I don't, whatever, I'll go down that road. So I got diagnosed by Mass General and then by Brigham and Women's twice.
Wow, so you had a second opinion.
Yeah, because I think with something so massive of a diagnosis like that, you know, get a second opinion in case this guy's a Looney Tune. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But it took probably, I think I lost track at like 44 doctors. And that's just doctors. The appointments were endless, as far as, you know, because you got to go in for, like, a consultation with some of them, or you have to see this person first before you see that one. And
you have to explain your story
to everyone.
I wrote, like, a huge six-page symptom, you know, thing. Emailed to them beforehand.
They didn't read it, huh?
Of course not. But, you know, then again, they look at this page that's, you know, I mean, this symptom list of 6 pages long, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, this one's going to be a doozy. What about you, Kim? How many did you see before?
I didn't keep count.
No, you don't. Because at that point,
it was just pointless.
Yeah.
I mean, I started seeing doctors for pain when I was 13.
Yeah. Holy crap.
So whatever 27 minus 13 is.
Yeah.
Get out.
And like, so poor math is not related to EDS, by the way.
How old were you when you found out?
I found out almost a year ago now.
Oh, the same as Kyle.
Around the same time, yeah.
Yeah, mine was in May, yours was in February. So yeah. It was pretty close.
Yeah, yeah.
And a similar story of how the heck they found your diagnosis?
Mine was a little different. I went to a lot of orthopedists throughout my life because that was my big thing was like hip pain and back pain.
Okay.
And they were like, oh, well, you have scoliosis. It's mild, but, you know, just work on standing up straighter. And I was like, okay. And I, you know, kind of tried my best.
Every
single time I would just find myself wilting like a freaking flower, just falling over. And I thought, oh, this must be something wrong with me. I just must not be trying hard enough.
Yeah.
And like, same thing in gym.
Yeah.
Try harder. And I would try and try and try, and I could never get anywhere. And it was so frustrating. So I thought, oh, okay, it's, you know, it's just me.
Yeah.
Then I go to college and I wind up having horrendous tendon pain in both of my shoulders.
Huh.
And I'm thinking, the pain gets to a point where I was like, I can't deal with it anymore. And I'm not a wimp when it comes
to
pain.
What type of pain did it feel like, though?
Like sharp.
Sharp? Okay.
Yep. Sharp shooting pain from the shoulders down my biceps.
Oh, wow.
So, like, wake me up from sleeping, things like that.
Good.
So, I go to the campus PT person, and he said, you know, I'm going to give you the cortisone shots. So, it'll help for a bit. But I really think you should go see someone about this thing called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
How the heck did he know where this, what it was?
Some people just get
some
like
people
really
into research and
like get nerdy about it, which is great.
Yeah.
And I
don't win, like these sometimes, like these people, like just luck.
Yeah.
That's
nuts. He looked at my history and he was like, this is a lot of stuff. And I was like, yeah, I know, I'm just weird. Which is
kind of cool. That was what's on your head. I thought I was insane for years, that I was imagining this pain.
Yeah.
You know?
I was like, I just must be really unlucky. So anyway, he was like, you should get it checked out. And I was like, okay. And then the cortisone shots worked. And I was like, nah, I'm fine. I don't need to look into it.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. And then slowly
creep back.
Things started to get worse. And then I got shoulder surgery because the shoulder just would not stay in.
Oh.
PT was doing nothing. So they had to screw it back in.
Get out.
So they did that. I had bed rest for a little bit. And I noticed, you know, I'm not feeling so good.
Wait,
now
you're still, at this point, you're still not diagnosed fully.
Nope.
You're just still going through the motions.
Yep, just going through the motions of, well, this is just, you know, this is just my body being weird, you know. And then, so after bed rest, I noticed, like, more pain in my knees, and I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe this is normal for, I'm getting older.
These are the 24. Thoughts. These are the thoughts that go through our head. These crazy, you know, that we had to kind of like reassure ourselves, like, oh no, because that's what was thrown down our throats for so long.
Yeah, exactly. Right, they're like, well, you're getting older, and I'm like, I'm okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Some Benjamin Button shit.
Yeah. You were an athlete when you were younger, so
yeah,
it must be that.
And you're not overweight, so that was always a huge thing that I always got. But you're not overweight, so you know you can't be that in that much pain. Or,
yeah.
What does that have to do with anything? Like, you know, I always got that. That always drives me nuts.
So then, when I was 25, I had I got a bad car accident, got a head injury, was on bed rest for much longer, and then the pain just shot right up. And I noticed it was a huge problem. I couldn't deal with it anymore. Went to see my primary care about it. She did some, she's a DO, not necessarily a DR. So she would do some manipulation, like to the muscles, to try and get everything to even out. We did that a few times. And then in the time since then, I had a few more head injuries. So more bed rest, more muscle deconditioning, which happens very rapidly for us.
Days.
Yeah.
Days.
A couple days and
you don't.
Gone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then she said, I really want you to go see this geneticist in Boston. He can make the determination whether you have EDS or not. I was lucky because I only had to go to one, which was good.
Yeah.
But I go, and we talk through, and he says, yes, I think this is what you have, but there's no genetic test for it. Which I was like, what do you mean there's no genetic test for it? And he said, well, so there's... This is a very basic explanation.
Right, very, very basic.
If you want to know more, please research it.
Yeah.
which is part of the disclaimer in the very beginning.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, awesome. So he said there's 6 basic types. We have the genetic tests for 5. We think you have the
6.
Get out.
Which is the most common.
Which is the most common.
What?
It's the most common kind and they can't test for it?
No, it's clinically diagnosed.
Okay. Which means no genetic tests.
Wow.
They haven't isolated the gene yet.
Right. So that's what's research?
Yeah, that would be
research.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That would be why research is important.
Yes.
Yep. Right. Yes. Right. Which we're going to get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But let's just leave that right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then go ahead. Yeah.
So anyway, that's how I came to the diagnosis about a year ago.
How has your life changed since then? What have you been able to incorporate?
So many
to make a difference.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just more
my
like
skyrocketed for like PT. I went to one place who, while they had the best of intentions, I was there for 6 months because they just didn't know what to do with me.
Huh.
They had one EDS patient before me, and she only had hypermobility in her neck.
Oh, not. I'm sorry. That sounded really bad.
To be fair, she's a ballet dancer,
okay.
So everything else was super tight.
Okay.
And she just didn't work
on
the neck. And so that's what wound up showing up.
That
and
was really awful of me. I'm sorry. I had to put the kneecap back on in the morning. Oh god.
Wait, Kyle, is your whole body affected? Or you said you're just your
Well, the other woman that they'd seen, just her neck was
right. But what about you? Because you had talked about back and
now,
but now it's all of it.
Yeah.
Okay. And Kyle, what about you?
Well, first of all, it's like I don't know if Kim feels the same way, but you know, if as far as an overall body, there's pain in every end. My fingertips hurt, but it's almost like that. There's like this girl online said it pretty well that it feels like there's sandpaper scraping the insides of your skin from the inside.
Yeah.
It's not in this agonizing, deal with it, but after every waking second of your day that you are constantly uncomfortable, and whether it's excruciating pain or minimal pain or whatever, that starts to kind of build up by the end of the day, or even sometimes it starts off that way.
Okay, here's the question that I'm now circling back to ask, because now everybody listening to this podcast is now thinking the same exact thing.
What kind of drugs am I on?
What are you... Right.
Yeah.
Why can't you, if you're in pain, why can't you take Tylenol? Why can't you take ibuprofen? Oh. Why can't you take these things? So, what do you do for the pain? But if you're in constant pain, how do you,
yes,
how do you make it go away? Why don't you just squash and talk about all of the pain?
Yeah.
Chronic pain.
Yeah, it's a great topic. Mm. I'll let maybe Kim go maybe after I give my opinion of that.
Which, side note, I love how, you know, Kim was coming into this like, I might say one or two things.
I might be in the background.
No, but I mean, the fact is that you both have this diagnosis and you're both going through not necessarily similar things, but also very different at the same time.
Yeah. Well,
which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, you think of it as like, you know, where we're two different people, something that's so widespread affects everybody differently.
Yes.
But in a similar way, if right. that makes sense. But as far as, like, the pain goes, for me, I suffer more with muscle pain and nerve pain. The joint pain or bone pain kind of feeling, it sucks, but I don't really dwell on that too much. For me, what I do for the pain is I try to build as much muscle as I can, to try to keep those joints as much sturdy as you can.
Okay, so if you build your muscle, the muscle protects the joints.
Well, it doesn't, but it helps a little bit. The only thing protecting your joints and keeping your joints stable is pretty much ligaments and tendons. So
right.
the muscles kind of connect to those, and there's little overlapping
right.
maybe,
right,
but,
right.
but if you can keep a solid muscle, you know, tone and strength to, you know, there's controversy whether or not there's 350 or 360 joints, I think, in your body. So we'll call it 350. That's a lot of joints. It's a lot of muscles to have to strengthen. I do wrist exercises. I do finger exercises. I do neck
Well, you
exercises.
Are actually, you have a fancy thing on your fingers.
Yep.
And
so
what are those?
They're splints so that if I pick something up or if I push off or something, that these don't fall out.
So here's what it looks like without the splints.
Yeah, Kim. Yeah.
Double
so,
jointed.
Yeah. So it's like if you don't want that to go back because it's not, you want to preserve your joints at this point, I think, you know. So I try to do a lot of mind and body pain management, a lot
right.
of meditation. I'll take.
Wait,
I'll
so
take,
let's go back to it. So I understand the pain management. So therefore, are you saying there is no medication that can help you for the type of pain you're in?
No, I mean, if you take like opioids or, you know, painkillers and stuff, there's a lot of people that depend very much on that in order to function properly because they're in agony.
Okay.
You know,
but you're taking a more holistic approach.
Only because I know how I am and I don't want to cave yet. I'm being a little bit stubborn and I might suffer more than I probably should. As opposed to people that, not that it's like an easy out because they're still suffering, but I mean, I am not at that point yet.
You don't want to just pop pills.
Not yet.
You would have to pop pills every day just to take the edge off.
Yeah.
So you talk about trying to go to sleep and then while you're sleeping, you know, how do you, if you're doing a holistic way, how is it helping you, like, when you're going to sleep or while you're sleeping or you wake up with this pain? Like, what do you do in those instances?
So as far as, like, food intake, I find if I stay away from dairy, I don't really, whatever, that helps a lot.
Because dairy has a lot of inflammation.
Yeah, I usually do a lot of berries and, you know, things that have
antioxidants.
Antioxidants, you know, that's great and everything, but more of like an anti-inflammatory diet, basically.
Oh, okay.
Which is
someone with arthritis.
Yeah,
walnut,
similar.
You know, certain things like walnuts,
yeah.
you know, the berries, those
yeah.
are anti-inflammatory, eggplant, salmon, avocado,
so,
anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, so
foods.
I try to really just kill it from every single angle. I try to get at least 8 hours of sleep. We also have a really horrible digestive problem because...
You say some burping over here silently.
Yeah, it's so brutal. So because it does affect everything. So if you're not in pain, let's say one day like your pain's at like a 4, your stomach is ripping up inside. So you're also now miserable because you feel sick to your fucking stomach. Excuse me. Or
now you're saying, excuse me, with the fucking F word? No, really, Kyle? Really? Kyle? Really? Okay.
but it's just crazy. So, like, if you're trying to, like, I know at work a lot of the times, I don't know if Kim can relate, that, you know, I might do a little bit of brain fog, you know, every day. Like, it's like I'm kind of in this, like, weird trance. But what I'm really trying to do is continue throughout this, you know, this day or this step without anything coming out, mm-hmm. without me pulling a muscle, and trying to keep my posture perfect. Also trying to figure out, you know, what you're saying to me and solve a problem at work, and trying, like, to kind of keep everything together.
Literally, you have a new meaning with trying to keep yourself together.
Literally.
You have a new meaning.
Yeah. So, like, you know, my morning routine, which is similar to a lot of people that have this problem, you have to make sure everything's aligned properly before you take that step off the bed, because if not, you're not walking that day, depending on a lot of, you know, certain areas and stuff. I have a lot of problems with my kneecaps in the morning.
Yeah, yours is, yeah.
They dislocate, right?
Or sublux, okay. Which is like, just means a partial dislocation.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, no big deal.
Yeah.
I've had that happen to me once. Nothing compared to what you go through, so I can't even be like, I feel you, girl, because I actually don't know. I mean, when I dislocated my knee, I didn't actually know what happened.
Yeah.
But I know that the bones collided with each other. Yeah. Like, and then the kneecap reset itself, so I didn't even know that there was a problem.
Yeah.
But I can only, and you deal with that on a daily. I would not.
That's the huge.
I was gonna say
that's usually.
Yeah. But what about you, Kim? What, like, as far as, like, you know, maybe what your, you know, take on the pain is, as far as your, you know, your management for it, if there is any, or what you do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first I tried Tylenol didn't work. Number one. Second, I tried ibuprofen, and at first, it wasn't enough, so I upped the dose, and then I upped the dose, and then I upped the dose, and
that's
then
not good
I had
fear.
To stay on it for, was it like 3 months? My stomach was just ripped to pieces.
Of course.
Yeah, so, and not to mention, by the end of that time period, it had gotten to the point where it wasn't even taking the edge off, so it wasn't worth dealing with the stomach pain.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, as far as pain goes, I do a lot of PT, a lot of self-massage. I have a small TENS unit, which is electrical stimulation.
Yeah.
What's that?
So you put these, say it's your knee, you put these pads on either side of your knee, and it hooks up to this, like, tiny little portable machine. It almost looks like a remote control. And it sends little pulses of electricity into the joint. And
so they have something like that over the counter now.
Yes.
With Icy Hot and Aleve. Oh. Shaq is one of the representations. I have one for my lower back.
Oh.
Like, it's just over the counter, but you have probably a larger pack for bigger, more pulsation, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got it on Amazon because that was where kind of
not a sponsor.
Not
sorry. No, that's fine. No one's gonna come and check this and be like, excuse me.
We're not mad at, like, you know, gives a piece of shit.
But yeah, it's got about like 8 little pads, so I can do several things at once because time is a big problem.
Yeah. Time is a huge issue.
Yeah, so it's TENS unit, ice the joints, heat the muscles. Stretch, self-massage, exercises to sort of remind my body of what you're supposed to do today.
and
to try and, like, strengthen the muscles over time.
So
it'll never pay off.
So can I ask a common person question about this? Now, you both talked about, like, meditation. So is the meditation to kind of mentally, like, for the mental exhaustion that you go through, or
fighting the pain,
or for someone that's like, well, okay, you're doing all that, why can't you do that while you meditate?
So I do. I have my time in the morning is meditation, my stretching, my putting shit back together time, my exercise time. I have my little, you know, my radio or my Alexa or something that is, like, more calming and in between say, sets or exercises. I'll do a little timeout and concentrating on really, it's really like, okay, today you can't crack. Like, you gotta be really strong today. And if your kneecap comes out, or if your hip dislocates while you're trying to hover over the toilet on lunchtime, you really got to try to be good about it. And so it's really more of like a mental sort of
to-do
prep
list.
To, number one, fake everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I am not a great, you know.
Well, you're standing up now.
You're standing up right now.
Yeah.
And you're moving back and forth. Are you, what,
so
where are you?
Helps
okay.
Because standing is very difficult. So, you know.
Or sitting varies very difficult.
And
sitting
or
chair
thing.
Her chairs aren't comfortable.
Yeah,
her chairs
yeah.
are definitely not comfortable.
Well,
yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I got these.
Well, you got your bed, your
got my
pillow.
Bed. Yeah, but anyway, so it's really more of like kind of just bringing everything into a center to try to prepare yourself for the day you're about to have. Because if you start crying for no reason at work and you say, well, I have EDS and.
No one's going to understand what the hell you're saying.
My sacral iliac joint just will not go in. And, like, no, you can't. Because then you have to teach an anatomy lesson. And people think you're insane. And then you're like, crap, am I insane? And there's a whole thing. So there's a lot of psychological prep that I think that
right,
you need to be able
it.
To deal with, you know, when something like this. Especially where, you know, you can't see what it
and
is.
It's kind of
yeah.
tough,
right.
too, because internal pain, no one knows what you're actually
exactly.
going through. So, for,
yeah.
like, I mean, I met you, what, a year and a half ago, and you were doing the podcast, and then all of a sudden I was like, dude, what's up with Kyle? She just keeps dropping out and, like, disappearing and stuff.
Yeah.
And then to see you walking through the stones, had I not or known you and had I not known what you were going through, I would have never been like...
We don't look sick.
No.
Do we look sick? We don't look sick. We look like...
I'm sure you get that a lot. Do you get a lot of people say, but you're so young.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's
oh my God.
That's my personal pet peeve.
Yes.
Is like, you're so... Like, I walk in with a splint.
Yeah.
And they're like, what'd you do? I was like, I slept funny.
Yeah.
And they're like, but I don't understand. I'm like, you know, I have joint problems. Like, but you're so young.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You're
I know.
So young.
It's a disease. It's not a... like
I'm aware of how young I am. Thank you.
So So I know that we were probably going to talk about this a little later, or you were going to bring it up, but I'm also curious because I have done many questions since I knew you were both coming on. But how hard was it for you to finally come public with people? Because you just recently, Kyle, I mean, could we not get any better than this about this? I mean, I know that you just recently posted two weeks ago and was like, here it is, people.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going through.
Yeah.
And I read your friends' comments that were like, Kyle, I had no idea and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So how hard was it for you, Kim? Like, was it kind of like, do I start telling people? Are they going to start treating me differently? Like, how did that all, was it as nerve-wracking as I can only imagine? Well, it was for Kyle that regurgitated something.
Tuna sandwich.
I'm not going to say it was tuna sandwich level. It was interesting because I just told my family.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, because also, you know, I have a sister who also has some problems. I'm like, hey, you should know about this.
Right.
Because we are related.
Right.
So I told my family, and they took it well, and they were very supportive, so that was very helpful. That's the first step. And then I told my friends,
mm-hmm.
and I have a friend who's a nurse, so that was really helpful.
Yeah.
She was very understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little nerve-wracking, but it was more because I was still coming to terms with it myself.
Okay.
And then I sort of told people on a as-needed, need-to-know basis.
Yeah.
Yeah, what maybe working, like, going to your employer and saying, hey, by the way, I was, like, is that something that...
I haven't been able to do that because I've been unemployed since 2015.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
So what do you do for work? What's your background?
I am an actor.
Okay.
I also write, and when I get my fingers working again, I'll be writing again.
Okay.
I used to work with kids in a daycare situation.
Right.
But because of the brain stuff that had to stop.
Right.
Still very reactive to lots of noises going on at the same time, which, like, not great with elementary school.
Oh, so this podcast is perfect for you to be here with all the noises and voices.
No, this is good. I'm talking, like, 20 kids in a room screaming.
That just makes my uterus hurt just thinking about it.
It's perfect.
Perfect birth control.
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah. Oh, anyone that's listening knows how I feel about children.
So essentially for a while I was on a need-to-know basis. So mm-hmm. I was taking martial arts classes for a while on and off. So I had to tell my instructor, like,
right.
This is something you should probably know.
Yeah.
You know, right. This could explain a few things. And also, like, if I have to modify something.
Of course, yeah.
That's why, yeah.
So
yeah.
The way that I kind of came out with it publicly was I posted a video from someone else. I didn't even do it in, like, a straightforward way. It was very mm-hmm. passive aggressive.
Well, I can understand the nerves with that.
Yeah. I was just kind of testing the waters. I was like, it was about these girls who, it was on Rare Disease Day,
mm-hmm.
and these girls were contortionists who had EDS.
Oh, somebody posted that to my page.
Yeah, that's where I found it.
Yeah, okay. That was the first. That was the first. I was like, oh, shit. She doesn't know that I'm not, like, open about this.
I'm not open.
And, like, I felt like, you know, like, they don't know yet. Like, no one knows yet. And she posted this thing online. And then I was like, no, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it because I don't think anybody has a fucking clue. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, it was the same video.
Yeah. I posted and I said, you know, this is what I go. They have the same thing that I have. You know, it's important to pay attention to rare diseases. And I tried to get kind of clinical with it and distance myself from it a bit, but people are generally pretty responsive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the next thing I've done.
So, okay, so, here's my question. People, true or false, people that are double jointed actually have EDS?
No.
No.
No, you can. You
not
can,
100% of the time.
Yeah, no, you can be hypermobile. So double jointed or being hypermobile.
Because this is what you were when you were Romanoff. You thought it was really cool that you
But the thing is, I thought everybody could do that shit. You have to understand something. It's like, there was one thing I used to do with my fingers, which, like, I have a lot of rings on me now, but, like, do, like, that kind of thing, and I'd go up to people, and I'd be like,
oh, yeah.
I'd flip it,
yeah.
And, like, right, you know, right, all yeah. this, like, weird shit and stuff. And I was like, yeah, and I just kind of thought, well, nobody else did it, but that's just because I'm, like, way cooler. You know what I mean?
Right.
I had no idea that, like, nobody could do that.
Secretly awesome.
Yeah. You have that one friend that can unhinge their jaw. Why?
Yeah.
No one else can do that?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the deal?
But when you grow up, like, so there's this perfect analogy that I found, and I might steal from somebody else, but there are these two tadpoles swimming along, and this big bullfrog jumps in and swims by them and says, hey, boys, how's the water today? And the two tadpoles look at each other and say, what the hell's water? They have no idea I had no idea that I thought everybody just felt this way, that was uncomfortable and in pain, that there was no other way to feel.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, if you've never felt comfortable and not in pain, then you think pain and uncomfortableness is absolutely normal.
And when people say, well, that's life, kid, and you're like, well, I guess, you know,
yeah.
if they say life is shit, I guess life is really painful.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Oh, you're 15 years old. Like, you're not in pain, sweetie.
You don't know what pain is.
Yeah.
It's just really
yeah.
fun to get.
So, that's what it is. Like, I have a problem with one of the, like, vertebrae where it hits your skull, basically. It's like this, like, these joints that kind of hang out here. It feels like sandpaper and, like, pop rocks. And anytime I turn, crack, crack, crack. And that's the other thing. Any movement of any kind, crack, snap, pop, creak. Like, it's constant. I'm like a 150-year-old house inside. The amount of joints that just keep cracking and popping and snapping and, you know, everything. It's like every single movement. That starts to get annoying.
So when did mm-hmm. they come... When was it discovered? When was EDS discovered? What?
1872.
1872.
It was a process, though, wasn't it?
That's when they...
Didn't one guy identify something, and then years later...
Yeah,
another
the dermatologist was the next one. Because a lot of people with people that have the, like, classical type, their skin, they can... You know, like, the Guinness World Book of
yes.
Records, people are stretching their faces out.
Yes.
They have
yeah.
EDS. Yeah, so, classical type,
so
which is a different type.
What, okay, so one in how many Americans have EDS?
They think,
or in general in the world, whatever.
Well,
to be politically correct.
Well, it's misdiagnosed a lot, and they
yeah,
think
okay.
it's they think it's they think
it's
both,
underdiagnosed.
Right, they think it's underdiagnosed, and then depending on the kind that we have, might be overly diagnosed. Like depending on a few things, but for the most part, I think it's what 1 in 5,000.
About yeah.
1 in 5,000.
They're basing it on right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right now.
You guys are like gems.
Yeah, that's
not, it's not even like 1 in 10, 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000. No, you're 1 in 5,000.
Are you comparing their disease to blood diamonds right now? I mean,
Leo.
Seriously? Should we call Jaylen Hunsu and be like, "What's up, man?"
You know, I'll take it. Yeah, like,
I mean, that's crazy.
Well,
that's like
tomorrow is. EDS Awareness Month in Massachusetts.
The start of it, May.
Yeah.
May?
Oh.
And why in Massachusetts?
Well, because I think that Boston...
Massachusetts cares.
Yeah. Well, I was actually talking with one of the coordinators for the fundraiser that I'm doing for it, and she was saying that basically Boston has the most, like, diagnosis of EDS and the most support.
Get
and,
out,
and,
really?
And you know, fundraising is Boston. She, you know,
really?
She goes all over the place with this foundation trying to, and she said that there's just so much EDS in Boston.
Between Boston and Stanford in California, you know, these are the top two medical places to be.
Yeah.
Right.
In a sense, because you have all of these medical fields, but, you know, as you both described, how many doctors you had to go through.
And still go through
in order to get this, like, and there's obviously this is going to be you for the rest of your lives.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Is this,
well, the thing is, like,
it
it's
never goes away.
Progressive only because as your body gets older, shit starts to go. As normal as it, our shit starts to go a lot faster and a little bit more worse.
So,
yeah.
Is there a life expectancy? Or are you going to live the same life?
Well, it's different life expectancies for the different types of EDS. For instance, there's one called vascular type 4, which the life expectancy is 30 to 50 years.
Holy shit.
Because what happens is the hypermobility, the connective tissue issues mostly affect their internal
heart.
Organs.
Oh,
so
that's not
they
good.
Most often die sudden death.
Right.
From some type of rupture.
Yeah. Yeah.
For us, where we have hypermobility, which I think was codenamed type 3.
Yeah.
It's an average life expectancy. But
okay.
They are careful to note that while it's an average life expectancy, it's a reduced quality of life. It's a very painful life. So
right.
it's longer. It just sucks.
So what if... Okay, so here's the thing. You guys are going about it in a holistic way and a very mindful way, and you literally wake up and go to sleep in a very mindful way. What about those people that are not doing what you do and just pop pills all day long?
Well,
and
you say
you know
just,
what I mean?
Well, but you say just pop pills all day long. They for everybody's different, obviously.
Yeah. Yes.
Everybody's very, very different with the kind of pain that they feel, whether or not it affects certain areas, you know, whatever it is. But this is the only way that a lot of people can function, is with the painkillers and a lot of the, and so here's the thing, a diagnosis that doesn't have, a genetic test. So it's basically on, they examine you, you know, if you can bend this way, that way, if you have these weird, like, fat clusters on your ankles now, which I got diagnosed with the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like a weird... I didn't know I had them. Yeah, it's so weird.
You
so
have them now.
Anyway, like, family history, your skin, and basically just, like, all your ailments. And they kind of like, all right, well, that sounds like this. You know what I mean? So you have this diagnosis that doesn't have, like, a definitive yes-no test. Genetic test. And they have people that are on a lot of drugs for the pain, and eventually some people get, people think that they're just drug addicts at that point.
Right.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Which is not.
But then other organs start to go because you're taking so many drugs. So
but
the way that you guys are probably going about it, your life expectancy is probably going to be normal and as well, rather than the others that don't go. Do you know what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying, but a lot, like I said, a lot of these people, they cannot function without these drugs because the pain is too much. And I mean, one day it might be too much for me.
We don't know what's going to happen in the future. I have no idea.
Right. Your body's, obviously people's bodies change on a whim. Like, I can't eat bananas anymore. And it's like, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
Bananas are touchy, though.
But they are. But I'm not comparing what my body's decided to not refuse to eat to what you guys are going through. No. But it is like a given, any given day, something could just be like, I'm done trying to even try to function right now.
Yeah, but then at the same time, though, like, I'm not saying, you know, but at least for me, I've had to sacrifice a lot. Mm-hmm. My social life's in the shitter. There are things that I do so that I can avoid having to rely on the drugs. Be in discomfort,
too.
Well, yeah, but I just don't want to, rely on, I'd rather cry all night than take a painkiller.
Right. Which is fair.
Right now.
I think it should also be noted that while it took us both so long to get diagnosed, we got diagnosed fairly young.
Oh, there are
people who don't get diagnosed until they're in their 40s and 50s.
Oh, yeah. So then what were they doing this whole time? What were they thinking? They couldn't
find anyone to refer them.
Over counter. They're probably trying to just do it their own self.
Illicit drugs. Anything the pain, anything, you know, that they could feel because they're told they're fine.
Exactly. That's where the biggest problem comes in is a lot of doctors don't know about this, like general practitioners.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a big issue. That can lead to a lot of pain problems.
So I have a question. So people like me who have a lot of fat on them probably have a lot of, you know, fat in between the joint and the muscles and everything. Does it strike everyone of all different sizes?
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Most people are on the heavier side that have it only because they can't exercise as much.
Yeah, they can't move as well.
Yeah.
But before they had it. So is it just because of that, or no, it doesn't. Yeah. Okay, that's irrelevant.
So it's genetic.
Okay.
Yeah, all of them are genetic. Okay. Even though they haven't found the gene for the kind that we have, but all of them are genetic.
Yes.
Okay. So if I were to have kids, which I made before I knew what was wrong with me, I knew that I wasn't going to do the whole child thing because I was suffering emotionally.
Right.
And I had no idea a lot of it had to do with how uncomfortable I was every single day. Mm-hmm. But I decided that a long time ago. And it's a very personal decision to make if you have that, you know. But so the point I'm getting at is the kind that we have, there's a 50-50 chance that if we had a child, that they would either carry the gene or not. Doesn't necessarily mean... That's the thing. Ready?
I'm about to ask you because you have a twin brother.
Hold it. I know.
You saw where my face was going with that.
Yeah. So just because you care, it's kind of like the breast cancer gene, right? So just because you have the breast cancer gene does not mean you're going to get breast cancer. You're more likely to get breast cancer. There's a lot of people, you know, it's a very controversial subject on how you take care of yourself, your environment, mm-hmm. your nutritional standpoint, when you have the breast cancer gene. And there's a whole new science that just came out like 20 years ago called epigenetics.
Yes.
And it's, I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
So whether or not your gene gets turned on or off is up, personally, in my opinion, is how your environment is and how you take care of yourself.
Here's the fascinating thing about it, though, because it's not just the on and off, it's also the volume.
Yes.
And it's not just your own environment, it's your parents' environment and their grandparents' environment.
It goes all the way down.
So if you had, like, a grandmother who had a very, very stressful life and happened to carry this gene, has a kid, kid's okay, you have a little bit of issues, kid has a lot of issues.
Yeah.
It goes all the way back.
Well, and it goes the same thing as if you have, you know, identical twins. One goes off, joins the friggin' circus. The other one goes to Harvard, right?
Usually identical twins stay close together.
Right. But their genetic code is identical. Yet, if you caught up with the one in the circus 30 years later and the other one that went to Harvard 30 years later, and one's, you know, 6'6" and the other one's 5'9" because he smoked cigarettes at age 13 till he was blue in the face, or his diet was really shitty and it affected his height, or maybe he has diabetes and the other one does and the other one's more fit and a lot more clarity in the head, you know, they look different, their diagnoses are different, they're completely different, yet their genetic code is identical. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the environment that they were grown into and that, you know, how they took care of themselves, basically. So, like, with the situation with Ant, with my brother, I mean, we're fraternal twins, so our genetic code is a little bit different, obviously. Right. But whether or not he has that gene, he could.
Does he have a kid now?
Not yet.
Okay.
So if he carries that gene, I mean, theoretically, his child could suffer the way I do every day, which is, again, a personal decision that him and his wife have to make. But, you know, it's...
Right.
But the thing is, like, it could happen to people just from a genetic standpoint, too, because, you know... Like, with the epigenetics sort of theory is that, you know, right now the theory is that your genes kind of determine your health for the rest of your life, where epigenetics
right.
is like, well, no. Yeah, like, there's like, your base gene, I guess, but there's a few things that can be added and subtracted depending
on
your
So it's kind of like, you know, I don't even want to compare it. I feel like, I'm like, so it's kind of like this, but it's actually, you know, probably completely different. But the alcoholism. Like, whether or not it's a gene or if it's just the nature and the environment. So, my family, on both sides, severe alcoholics, severe smokers. My brother and I barely drink. I've never smoked. My brother, I don't know if he's ever smoked.
Yeah.
If he did it, like, once and probably, like, dropped it and was, like, washed his hands 18 times to get the smell out. But there are other people in our family that they... drink because they wake up to drink to function. They drink because, you know, they had a rough day, so they drink.
Yeah.
I always say I'm going to drink, but then it's like, I have to be to work at like 5 a.m. Who wants to do that? Not me. But it's kind of like that. It's like you never know when that switch is going to just be like, guess what?
Yeah.
And then you were talking about the volume as well. It's like, sometimes it could be, like, on that low dimmer where it's, like, a 1 and a 2, and then sometimes it could be that 10.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, this is all fascinating, so I'm being very quiet, but I'm, like, I'm thoroughly fascinated by, and I don't know if it's just, because it is the whole, you never know someone's story. We've been saying it for the last few weeks is, you know, Kyle walking down the street or Kyle walking on the beach, you would have no idea what, internally
I'm concentrating
is going
on all my joints not falling
right she's, and then she's like sitting there like and she's in her thought process like wow she's kind of a bitch she probably's got like the hottest boyfriend on the planet and,
I don't have the hottest boyfriend.
Well but
are
you know
single Kyle
still
okay all right.
So that's that's my question
I don't know what you're talking to I'm popping shit in and out all day I gotta make sure that you know everything's
So that was going to be my next question is how, I mean.
We have sex. Yeah. It's really, things fall out.
Well, I wasn't going to say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just leave that to Kyle. Just let that.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if you finally get to a point where you're like, okay, I can
handle it,
kind of try and get this, maybe to have bring someone in. How do you go about that? Because I'm sure it's going to be a lot different than talking to your family and your Facebook friends, right?
Well, my opinion with it now is, like, number one, no kids. I've made the decision to not pass this on or chance to pass it on. So I got to find a guy that doesn't want kids. And
or if they already have them and don't want more.
Exactly.
Right.
There's not a human coming out of my vagina at any point in my life. Ever.
No.
Like, ever.
It can't.
No.
You'll fall apart and never go back together.
And that's the thing. People that have these problems that we have, to hold a child in there for that long and have it actually be fine, like, everything come out all right and everything.
Yeah.
Now, that's rare.
Yeah.
For everything to go smoothly, that's rare.
Yeah, because your cervix, that's connective tissue.
Oh, and that's a joint right there, too.
Yeah.
Right where the two pelvic bones join where it has to
open up
for the head to come out.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so those are joints.
That doesn't always go back together.
So what have you thought, Kim? Do you want kids?
I don't know.
It's still fresh.
It's still something that you think about.
See, I've been thinking about this for a long time for other reasons.
She's been saying this before she was diagnosed.
I didn't have my period yet, and I was like, I don't want to have kids.
I mean, for a while I thought, even before I knew any of this, I thought, yeah. And then I kind of, after the diagnosis, I had some hesitations, and then I started realizing, when it takes me so much time just to take care of myself during the day, how in the hell am I going to take care of an infant?
Or how are you going to get through a pregnancy?
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
What about insides falling?
Or being in a relationship with another human, adult human, to even process, going for the little human is you got to go through that, too. Yeah. That's
the whole day, I remember when the doctor, when the geneticist diagnosed, he was so, has anybody ever told you that that you're flexible or that you're double jointed? And I was like, well, some of the guys that I've dated in the past have, really liked that. I don't know. And then I thought about it and I was like, oh shit. And I was thinking about some of the things that you, not even in a sexual manner, but I just mean you have your really, really soft skin and, you're really, really flexible. And I'm like, yeah, aren't they all like that?
Isn't every chick bendy? Come on.
I had no idea.
That was just the patriarchy coming through.
Belief. Anyway, dating's tough. Dating's really tough because Monday through Friday, I don't exist.
Yeah.
I don't exist. And then on the weekends, I'm trying to clean up everything that I couldn't do during the week. Mm-hmm. It's like I have every second planned out so that I can function as a relatively normal person.
So you need to find someone that can fit in your life.
But here's the thing.
I know where you're going with that.
Here's how I feel about it. Like, I feel like, because once again, I'm going to try and be like, comparison. But you guys are just, this is, even though it's been a year, this is still very, very fresh.
Yeah.
Like, this is, something that takes a lot and probably process. So right now you guys are trying to focus on yourself versus bringing someone else in and stuff like that. And you don't necessarily need that person in there because that could probably add more.
Well, I had to juggle my own balls every day and
not someone else's.
Yeah. No, well, depending if I had a few. I don't know. But anyway, if I let somebody else help juggle those balls, then they're all going to fall right on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I have everything the way I need it to be. I have my, my life where it needs to be in order for myself to be better and to thrive. And if anybody comes in there and ruins it, I don't come back very quickly. I think all my emotional strength is, at, the very, very highest it can be right now. And I think that if I let, a little bit of a dent in there, that it'll just drop, and I can't drop. If I drop, I literally fall apart. Mm-hmm. Literally.
It takes so long to recover.
Yeah.
It takes so much time.
Physically. And I meant in every way I recover.
So for anyone listening to this podcast, if you think that you even remotely
I already put that in the disclaimer.
Want to get into Kyle's life, you better be perfect. Because she ain't dealing with any emotional trauma.
Same with Kim. We got to make sure we're not
forgetting. Exactly with Kim. You better be coming into their lives perfectly. Because they ain't dealing with no drama. They ain't dealing with no bullshit. You better just come in and be the perfect man. A.K.A. Mr. E. Everybody wants a Mr. E.
So let's start, I know we could talk about this for hours.
So we're running at 1 hour and 13 minutes.
Shut the fuck up, man.
Hey,
this is gonna be the longest one.
I'm not putting a time clock on this
because
this shit's
important. But we're gonna start to wrap this. We talked about earlier how you have the one genetic,
I don't know.
There's six tests. There's five tests. There's the sixth one. No, there's five. And there's six. The one is not one that they can run a test on, which is what they both have.
Right. And so they do research on it, and so the walk in what we're about to talk about that you're doing, is this based on the one or all six?
Okay.
It's not even based on this.
Okay. So it's not, it's based on anything and everything EDS. They're trying to, there's this guy that's doing this mouse experiment with trying to find the gene.
Really?
Yeah. But it's a cure vascular type.
Damn it.
But the more information that we know about the whole genetic codes of these could help us, could help everybody. Whatever.
Well, also because FYI, there's tons of overlap.
Yeah, there's a lot
right,
of overlap.
Right.
Yeah. So this guy is doing a lot of research on this. It's the first and only research, like proactive research. In, like, forever that they've done because there's no awareness of EDS.
Mm-hmm.
There's no funding for EDS. There's nothing. So this walk is actually put on by the Marfan Foundation.
Okay.
Marfan syndrome's a similar, like, you know, related connective disorder.
A cousin connected, like, in a sense.
Yeah.
In the same field, it's kind of like a cousin.
So they have a lot more awareness. They have a lot more funding. A lot of people know what Marfan syndrome is, or more people know about what Marfan syndrome is, and they're letting all the teams, they're letting Team Zebra, which is the EDS team,
mm-hmm.
Anything that we raise will go not to the Marfan Foundation or Marfan Research. It'll go straight to EDS research.
Wow. Okay.
And it's the first time. They're so great on letting us kind of piggyback
a
lot of their fundraisers. They're an excellent foundation. They do a lot of funds and awareness for us.
For many different types of connective tissue
disorders. Exactly. Wow. So this year is the only year the first year that they're letting anything that this, you know, particular team get will go straight to EDS research. So that's actually the link that I posted online.
And I have that link already, so
we'll be linking it up.
Yes, you could go on and donate. You could read my story a little bit more together than what I was just saying.
You gave a lot of great information.
I feel like this is also just as important as to hear it from you and to have questions that may, like, you know, as you wrote those paragraphs, you know, someone might have those questions but might be too scared to comment or ask about them.
Well, the goal for me anyway, I don't know, you know, if you have a similar one, Kim, but I want not only for people not to go most of their adult lives thinking that they're insane and suffering on an emotional and physical level. I want them to be able to be diagnosed at a younger age so that they can be equipped with, you know, the tools that they need to kind of have a better quality of life throughout friggin' high school if it's not difficult as it is, or even, you know, early 20s or whatever it is. I just want the diagnosis time to be much shorter. And then I also would like one day for if you walk into work, Kim, and you have your splint on, and somebody doesn't really know what's wrong with you, instead of teaching an anatomy lesson, trying to get into the whole thing, that you can say, I have EDS, and they might not completely understand it, but they've heard of it, and they know it sucks, and they will end it there.
Awareness.
Just the awareness of it.
So have you thought about organizing your own walks around EDS?
No, this is the first fundraiser I've ever done or anything or thought.
And how far is this walk? Like how long, like what's the 5K, distance of?
5K, 5 miles.
5K.
So that's a 3 mile. So how do you feel?
I think at work, I probably do 8 5Ks every day.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So you're mentally and physically kind of ready to do this.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I also have to stop every half hour to go into the medical room and put everything back in and roll out some.
Now, will you be walking with a group of people from your group, or are you just walking by yourself?
I know nobody on the team.
Oh, okay.
But Kim might join me.
That's why you want me to join.
No, that's like walking into a bar alone. It does not bother me. No, I don't know anybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you, when you posted, because it was literally like two weeks ago,
You posted, and I don't know if you can really actually talk about it, but I'm going to say it, and if not, I will delete this from the podcast, and it'll never exist. But your goal for fundraising, because a lot of people do, like, GoFundMes and Kickstarters and stuff, your goal was $1,500.
Your original goal.
Your original goal. So then, when I saw it, your post, you were already 3/4 of the way, and you had posted, like, 2 hours before I saw it.
Yeah. You hit it way before 48 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you continued to up your goal, and now you've had 3 different goal marks since then, and you're still continuing. So you're about $425 away from your actual goal of what you now have it as.
Yeah, and I'm not going to change it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this
I thought every time you hit the goal, because I've never done anything like this, so I didn't know. I thought every time you hit the goal, you set a new one. I mean, I don't know. You lose 15 pounds, you go for 20. Like, I didn't know. So I'm not going to change it again, but yeah, it started at 15, and then it went to like 25.
Yeah.
And now I'm pushing 5 grand.
Yeah.
Right. It's
yeah,
crazy.
That's
it's
the
awesome.
Goal is 5 grand.
Right.
So I think maybe this week I'll start the actual fundraising efforts, like, which is this basically.
Right.
You know, even just for the awareness perspective of it. Is,
right.
Now, is this walk in Boston?
Yep. It's on May 11th. It's at the Boston
May
Commons.
11th.
Yep.
Okay.
Commons. And
I said June.
What did I say?
In a text, you said June.
Oh, no, it's June 11th.
Okay,
it's
June 11th, which
sorry.
Is a Sunday.
Yeah, I was going to say that May is EDS month, which is why we wanted
okay.
to get this out
right.
there.
Right.
Which this would be perfect timing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why would they have a walk-in? Oh, because there it's not an EDS walk.
It's not an EDS
walk. Right. You know what, Kyle? I really see big things for you in the future because of, you know, Talia was, she did a couple of breast cancer walks, and it can be done. And you can open 501(c)s, which is nonprofits,
yeah.
and
yeah.
you can that can be done, and it's not unattainable. So I think that this is just the beginning of something big for you. I think that you're going to want to get the awareness out there, and I see you being a big voice in the community for EDS. I think Kim's coming along for the ride, whether she wants to or not.
Maybe drag me behind you.
She's like,
hi,
peanut gallery, but I'm going to
no.
say a lot of things.
No, she'll be right next to me.
Right.
Now, once again, you guys are just freshly in this, but do you think at some point down the line you might want to be a part of counseling or being part of someone, an advocate within the support group to talk to others that are just coming about with this?
For the navigation of the medical community, I think somebody needs a counselor for that. That in itself
yeah.
is unbelievably time-consuming, stressful, expensive. It's unreal between the doctor's appointments. I just said that so nonchalant, but it's overwhelming to no end.
Right.
So I think
right.
navigating
so
through
coming,
that.
So now that you've been in it, someone that's new coming
yeah.
into like, your support group,
yeah.
they're just like all of a sudden
overwhelmed
and flooded. So having you guys here and also having this podcast could kind of help somebody kind of guide their brain as to where to go
first.
Next and how to
right.
how to find it. So how did you find your support group?
I just sort of Googled EDS Massachusetts. Help me, please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what
okay.
came up was this Facebook group run by someone named John Rodas.
Yeah.
He's a really big advocate for
Huge.
Marfans and EDS.
Huge. He's amazing.
He does fantastic work.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of got into the Facebook group, kind of like saw some of the posts, asked a few questions here and there. I was like, hey, does anyone know of a like GI that deals with mast cell issues? Looking for that, which is one of the friends at EDS.
I was
going
to say, we have to have a whole other podcast for EDS's friends.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't even get me started.
No, we can't. We don't have time.
No, there's not.
Yeah. Alicia's trying to look at what time I'm not even. I'm like putting my hand in. Like, this is a special episode. This is a special, special prime time special episode on ABC. Stop. Not a sponsor.
How'd you find the group?
Yeah, Facebook.
Yep.
Yeah, I just kind of just like, God help me, EDS, please. And then that was basically it, yeah. Facebook.
I don't think that's the actual name of the group, so no. Please Google it properly.
It's not God Help Me. Yes.
Yeah. No, it's Ellis Danlos Boston. Okay. I have indirectly kind of know the person that started it. My friend Zoe. The one person in my entire life she knew, I said, oh, I don't know if I can do that today. I'm really hurt. And she said, oh, what's wrong with you? I said, oh, you know, it's crazy. I have this thing called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Oh, no, I have this thing called EDS. She goes, oh, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome? I'm like, what the fuck did you just say? and she was like, yeah, my friend, she's from Austin. She lives in Austin or something. Created a Facebook page for Ehlers-Danlos in Boston. I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah, okay. And she was the only person to this day, even doctors,
to even know what it was.
Yeah, I was completely floored. But yeah, anyway, so that Facebook page is really good.
Awesome.
All right.
Yeah, you know, you guys are obviously, we could talk off mic, but you're more than welcome to share on the podcast, because I think this will definitely help some people. So we apologize for swearing, not really, because we put a disclaimer. Oh.
Well, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But the fact that you guys can come on here and not necessarily be as confident about it, but be able to laugh and be able to share some things
that laughter is the best medicine.
It's definitely a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm excited.
And so your march is on June 11th.
June 11th.
In Boston Commons.
Click to donate.
We
got it.
We have the link in the notes. Yeah. So with that, Alicia, you good?
That's it. What are we ending at, Bridget? Don't even tell me.
125.53.
The absolute longest podcast
this
ever.
This is important.
It is very important, and it was a lot of great information. And I don't think anyone tuned out. I think everybody sat on the edge of their seat and was like, what is going
to
happen?
What's going to be interesting about this, and we're going to continue to talk about this, oh my God, please shut up and call it a quits on this podcast. So a lot of people don't actually know about podcasts themselves. So if you guys share it and be like, hey guys, if you want to know more about what's going on with me, they're going to tune in and be like, wait.
This would be a huge awareness.
Yeah.
Tool. Absolutely. Yeah. A huge awareness tool. For them to be able to share, and again, the swearing was pretty much none.
I mean, it's acceptable for the amount of shit you guys go through on an hourly basis, minute basis, so.
It was great, so excited. Thank you, Kim. Thank you,
Thank
Kyle.
You. Thank you for having us.
It's pretty amazing, so. Awesome. We're going to have them on again.
Oh,
because
you
know what's going to happen after the
after
walk.
After the walk, we'll
after
have to
the
find
walk,
out.
And then we want to find out.
Bring
all
some
so
more,
much
more friends. We'll ask more questions.
Yeah, it's going to meet more people.
Yeah, great.
And then by that, Kyle will have her own walk and awareness. And
no, Kim's going to be there to organize it too.
Kim's going to be there.
Kim is on for a ride. You don't even know what she's on for.
Where are we?
What's happening? I don't know.
So, good morning, Glosser. Good night. We love you. Peace out.
Bye.
Deuces.
So the foot bone's connected to the leg bone. The leg bone's connected to the knee bone. The knee bone's connected to the thigh bone. Doing the skeleton dance. Yes, the thigh bone's connected to the backbone. The backbone's connected to the neck bone. The neck bone's connected to the head bone. Doing the skeleton dance. Them bones, dancing bones. Them bones, dancing bones. Them bones, them dancing bones. Doing the skeleton dance. Put your hands to the left. Put your hands to the right. Put your hands in the air and wiggle them out of sight. Them bones, dancing bones. Them bones, dancing bones. Them bones, them bones, them dancing bones. Doing the skeleton dance.